Welcome to Tactical Permaculture. I've worked on projects ranging from the poorest to richest clients, from inner cities to suburbs to farmlands to remote wilderness, from the eco-war front lines to celebrity backyards. In over 25 years of service to the earth and the community of life, I've learned that in the fight for sustainable survival, growing is half the battle. Please go to tacticalpermaculture.com to read my blog, watch my videos, view my photos, access web applications, and click on the join membership link to access exclusive features. March 2nd, 2024, episode number 114. This was a fun one. This is another web application tool launch that scratched an itch for me. It's been a number of years of being on the sidelines of cybersecurity and cryptography, and just being in awe of the masters that are out there that are able to really fully understand these concepts, and there's so many of them. But when I would consider myself not an expert, but a layperson, when I can, for myself, develop an understanding of some of these very esoteric, mostly mathematical and computer science concepts, it's an achievement, and I try to have fun with it, as quaint as I may be in the grand scheme of things. That's what I hope you enjoy about what I do and who I am. If it's anything, it's quaint. And so without further ado, I will explain this magical journey into the understanding for myself of this concept of a random number generator. So if I say when I say the words random number generator, I guess that would kind of split the world into a couple of categories or buckets. People who are snobs about their understanding of a random number generator, and people who are scratching their heads. And I'm by no means a snob. I'm still scratching my head, but I'm going to do my best right now to articulate the significance and the utility of random number generation and it's how it fits into the modern world. And this is not a TED Talk, in case you were wondering. So, how do I tell the story of random number generation? First thing that just came to mind is a visual from childhood watching TV where they had these ducts of air blowing balls with numbers on them up into and through these plastic transparent tubes, and then they would grab the balls, and whatever number was on the ball, that was one of several numbers that would ultimately equate to the series of numbers that would be the winning lottery numbers. And I don't know if I've ever played a lottery. I don't know what it's like, how it's changed over the years, but I imagine that was a very theatrical and kinetic means of generating a sequence of random numbers, of blowing air into a almost like popcorn. It's like it would be like if you were not using microwave popcorn, but using a legitimate popcorn popping machine. And each kernel was somehow able to have a number printed on it that would be displayed when the kernel is popped into popcorn. And that amount of randomness would be sufficient to give you the confidence that the lottery wasn't rigged. So, yeah, I don't know whose brainchild that was, but that's what I, when I said into my inner sanctum, what comes to mind, what's the earliest memory of random number generation that you can think of? Well, that's it. And I don't know what year that was. I don't know what lotto that was, but that was what I remember of it. And yeah, I suppose another way to think of it is the cliche of rolling the dice, that ought to be, if the dice have not been tampered with, then they ought to generate random numbers. And in fact, this gets closer to where I'm going with this, which is that there's a tradition of people who will actually use, legitimately roll dice, shake and roll dice, in order to kind of do almost like an OCD ritual to guarantee themselves that there is nothing but randomness in the sequence of numbers that they choose to apply to some application within computer science that relies upon a perfect vacuum of algorithmicality, if that's a word. I'm going to make it up. Algorithmicality is my new word of the day, my random word of the day. So, yeah, the rolling of dice is probably a easier to digest kind of metaphor for, at least in the limited terms that I have to describe it, the utility of randomness in computer science. Now, is this chaos theory? How far into academia do you have to go with this for it to make any real world sense whatsoever? Obviously, we don't want randomness when it comes to the sidewalk signals and the traffic signals. We don't want randomness in what's in our paychecks. What is the utility of randomness other than just to blow leaves around in the wind and for butterfly wings to create storms across the globe? To my understanding, the utility of randomness in computer science, if it had to have a bumper sticker, let me think, visualize world peas. That's it. That's the bumper sticker for the utility of randomness in computer science. No. What would be the bumper sticker for the unique value proposition for randomness in computer science? It would be, if I had to say it, unguessability. That's the, or virtual or almost perfect unguessability. That you cannot by any means cut corners and cheat to estimate or approximate a value by any form of guessing or estimation or by following the breadcrumb trail of an algorithm to arrive at an array of potential values. So that I mean, these words, they don't come naturally to me. This is not second nature for me to structure the English language in this manner. This is, I mean, for what it's worth, which ain't much, it's me struggling to digest and understand the astronomical realms of math and computer science that I have exposed myself to over the last few years, and that I believe wholeheartedly that my whatever freedom I have in this life are contingent upon, is contingent upon the freedom that I have and that I hope to continue to sustain and possibly grow upon in my life. It's 100% due to nothing other than the mathematical genius of people who are savants of computer science, mathematical algorithms. So I owe it to them, as the phoebe that I am, to at least be in a cargo cult of their genius, which I definitely am. So I'll continue to I'll continue to elaborate and simplify and reduce where possible. But for me, yeah, it's been a journey to learn to appreciate what I would have made fun of in grade school. And it was a very big and powerful billionaire CEO or former CEO founder who said something to the effect of, be nice to the geeks because one day you'll be working for them, something like that. Well, I've been lucky and blessed enough. I've worked for geeks, believe me. I had dreams about them last night. I have recurring dreams and nightmares about the geeks that I've worked for, who could fillet me and turn me inside out with how intelligent they were, with the metrics and the tools that they would apply to my performance on the job. I've had them appreciate me. I've had them eviscerate me. So I exude and I live that truism of be nice to the geeks because you'll be working for them. So my opportunities in life have been limited by how much not of a geek I am, and I don't think that's something to be proud of. I was never enough of a jock or enough of a geek to make it very far in this life. It's only been at this point, thanks to the geeks, that I have the freedom I have to philosophize in this way. But getting back to setting aside the random tangents that I go on verbally, what is the point of unguessability? Well, in a world that is propped up by a cryptographic house of cards, where unguessability is the currency of the secrecy of nation states, corporations, and even Joe Sixpack's retail investment cryptocurrency bags, unguessability is our God. And to put that in context, what is the most viable application of the monstrous botnet that is artificial intelligence? It would be to make the unguessable guessable. And that is one of my biggest fears. But the idea that, what is a strong password? It is a password that no genius human being on earth and no army of colluding supercomputers could guess in a billion years. That's the the aim of unguessability. The problem is, if you aim that far out, and the mechanism in order to fire a shot of unguessable trajectory out that far into the middle of nowhere, there better not be a way, a breadcrumb trail to reverse engineer the algorithm that set that secret on that trajectory. So what happens to my feeble knowledge in the world of breaches in cybersecurity, what happens is random number generators that are weak and that are ineffective, they get compromised because of possibly a simple coding error, or that they weren't random enough. There's even the idea of, quote, pseudo-randomness, the idea that if I can I will be guessing at the idea of pseudo-randomness. My understanding of pseudo-randomness is a humble and honest, intellectually honest way of saying you cannot program a computer to be random. Because everything that the harder you try to make a computer be random, the more obvious it is the method that you went about doing that. And so there are people, there's this, I guess, a school of cybersecurity that says, don't call it randomness. You can only ethically call it pseudo-randomness, because whatever you hard code is going to deterministically result in, even if it's a seemingly infinite array, that's what they call a security by obscurity. It's obscure, it's slightly hidden, or maybe well hidden, but it's not impossible to follow that breadcrumb trail. So how then do you generate randomness? Well, this is where it gets interesting, and I cannot say that I understand and that I know what attributes of a random number generator are considered to be high versus low quality, or high versus low assurance or confidence in the sort of unguessability of the randomness. I don't know how that's measured. I just know that from my experience using the encryption, the file and drive encryption tool known as Veracrypt, formerly TrueCrypt, which even up to the last couple of episodes of Security Now has been cited as the go-to file and drive encryption tool. And I'll never forget when Steve Gibson said on a Security Now show with Leo Laporte, just the emotion behind when he said, I'm going to have to paraphrase because I don't remember it verbatim, but I'm going to try to approximate it. But he says something to the effect of, if it's encrypted in this way, if you don't have the key, you can't decrypt it. It sounds very obvious. It sounds very remedial, but no, when you gotta ask yourself, I mean, how many things in this world are that secure? How many things cannot be ripped apart, torn upside down and backwards, and for the secret to be shaken upside down until the coins fall out of your pockets? There is no brute force means in the known universe to crack encryption that has been projected out to these astronomical mathematical problems. So I wish I took a note of what episode and what moment it was when he said that, but it was just almost with bewilderment at the truth of it, how axiomatic it was for him in that moment to just articulate, without the key, you cannot open this. And that key is a string of gobbledygook, unintelligible alphanumeric jazz that is a digest of an even larger set of numbers that boil down to binary ones and zeros that are so long and so incomprehensible to all computers and all life in the known universe that you cannot crack it. So tipping the hat to Veracrypt, every time you using the Veracrypt application, when you are prompted to increase the strength of the security of that randomness, you were forced by the application to randomly move the mouse cursor as vigorously as possible. And if you don't move it as fast and vigorously as humanly possible, it'll just halt. It'll grind to a halt and you will not get your encrypted drive. So I gotta wonder what it would look like to see the look on the faces of people who ever had to do this in a frenzy because their life depended on the nanoseconds that they had to encrypt the drive before the Gestapo kicked in the door and pointed the assault rifles at their head. That they were sitting there and they were vigorously jerking the mouse to get to that finish line of randomness that Veracrypt requires in order to let you pass to the next phase, which is to encrypt your data. But you can't cheat it. You can't sit there and get pouty and just wait and let the mouse be still. It will stare you down into the abyss and you will get nothing and go nowhere. You have to sit there and vigorously create randomness by jerking the mouse in random directions. And the more movements, it even says, I don't remember exactly the quote, but it says it says something like the more chaotic you move the mouse, the stronger your security is going to be. So I'm going to take their word for it. I don't know what they're doing in the code behind the scenes. That's above my pay grade. But I did want to, in my quaint cargo cult manner, I wanted to create a funhouse graphical user experience that approximates that experience of generating randomness by shaking a mouse around to create a random number. So, where the rubber meets the road on this one, for me, was that I said, okay, I know a couple of things about front-end, what you might call client-side or front-end JavaScript. I know a couple things about style sheets and about HTML, so I'm going to try to make a gag for myself, a quaint gag for myself about generating a random number generator that is an homage to the Veracrypt randomness exercise that you're forced to endure and that you are glad to endure because of the value of that service. So there is a function that can be very simply written out in the code of a website that says, wherever the mouse cursor is within the range of a browser window, every time the mouse or the cursor moves at all, every time it moves even one pixel, you can capture those coordinates, the X, Y coordinates. It's almost like GPS for the browser window. So if you capture those coordinates every time the mouse moves at all, you get these numbers that represent the number of pixels out from the left side of the screen and the number of pixels down, if I'm articulating this, verbalizing it correctly. Yeah, the number of pixels down from the top is so the easiest way to generate coordinates within a browser for whatever reason, because it could be a video game or because you're clicking on a button, whatever it might be, there's infinite potential utilities for the ability to track and create a sort of a flow of various functions or responses to the coordinates of where you are with the mouse. So at any given time, if you are running this a function of this type, you are going to be able to store the values in real time from pixel to pixel movement, what the number that is the number of pixels from the left of the screen as the X, and the number of pixels down from the top of the screen, which is Y. If you want to kind of imagine it, a simple way of imagining it is that what is, I'll do a little pop quiz. What comes to your mind if you say 0, 0 with the first value representing the X axis and the second value representing the Y axis? 0, 0 is the top left corner. If you had a window that was 1,000 pixels wide and 1,000 pixels tall, then 1,000, 1,000 would be the bottom right corner, if I'm not butchering that. And then you get 0, 1,000, 1,000, 0. This stuff does not come to me naturally, and I could be getting it all upside down and backwards. So hopefully, depending on your level of your your IQ relative to mine, all this may all be snapping together if you haven't conceived of this before. And this is, I don't know what level of grade geometry this is, probably sixth grade or something or less, but that's a little bit of a framework to work with. So as you move the mouse around, the X and Y coordinates are going to create a great deal of randomness from one to the next, because the probability that you are going to make perfect geometrically correct straight lines from one to the other, and there's not going to be any wonkiness, even if you try to make a box or you try to make a triangle, it's going to be so difficult. Probably you're not going to get it perfect even if you try. And that is for all intents and purposes almost enough randomness to be unguessable. So that's why I believe they say the more vigorous you engage in this activity, the more randomness you're going to generate. The harder it would be in a billion years with all the computers and geniuses in the world working together to crack your randomness value, the more like jazz it is, the harder it is to square it away and reverse engineer it and follow a breadcrumb trail. So to me, that made a lot of sense when I understood the risk of relying solely on a computer to generate randomness. Well, at some level, no matter how hard you try, there's going to be some line of code that determines what the potential outcomes of those random of that randomness could ever be. So if you had it, when it's computers against computers, more computers will crush less computers to find out what all of the possible permutations of the computer-generated randomness could ever be. There's only so many relative to a vastly more, if the word is entropic, potential of human-generated randomness, or for that matter, randomness that is derived from nature or from processes that are considered chaotic. So you could move the mouse, or there could be some sensor that derives randomness theoretically from the currents of drafts in a room, but you couldn't do it with a fan that moved from left to right in a programmatically designed manner, because you could derive patterns from that at some level. You couldn't derive randomness from a room with closed windows where the draft was being generated by a fan, because that fan, the speed of the motor and the range of the fan twisting on an axis are guessable enough to crack your encryption and to make it a bad day for you. So you would have to open the windows, and you would have to make sure that there's no timestamp on that randomness, because if it was knowable what the prevailing winds of that day, of that time of year were, that could be deduced by these geniuses and their armies of monstrous botnets to break your life and death encryption. So, hey, if Veracrypt tells me to sit there and move a mouse around for however many minutes it takes for them to say that that was enough, I'm going to take their word for it, and I'm going to accept that. So again, going back to the tool that I made, which I will now describe in briefer terms after this very indulgent excursion into absurdity, I admit. But we are all the slaves of the geniuses at some level. And my mantra is now, it's not that wealth in markets goes from weak hands to strong hands. It's that wealth in markets go from dumb people to smart people. And I hate to say it, because I'm a lower middle class. I'm not the dumbest dumb person, and I'm certainly not the smartest smart person. I don't know where I'm at in the grand scheme of things, but I will admit a lot of stuff goes over my head. A lot of stuff does not compute without great effort and the assistance of computational tools. So I'm humbled, and I think we are living in a paradigm of Neo from the Matrix meets Revenge of the Nerds, and we are all on that continuum somewhere. So I pay respects. I'm trying my best now in this moment to pay my respects and do this homage. So, this tool that I created, it gives you the experience of creating randomness by moving a mouse, and what you see is that there is a crude die, as in dice, that appears to be rolled when you move the mouse on this application. You move the mouse, the die is. The die appears to be being rolled, and then every movement you make with the mouse adds random numbers to the page, and you see the random number grow into a giant block of random numbers, and you have 5 seconds so that it doesn't just go on forever, and within 5 seconds, however much movement you have done with the mouse is going to be reflected in how big that block of random numbers is. So if you are very minimalistic in your mouse movements, you will generate a random number that is relatively short. If you are vigorous in your movement of the mouse, you're going to generate a random number that's relatively long. And you have a prompt at the top that says shake the dice to generate randomness, I think is what it says. You got 5 seconds to do it. When the timer runs out, the number that you see is the number that you get, and then you have a prompt to select your number. So as if you were selecting text from any other normal website, I create a little flashlight icon for it, and you get to click and drag the mouse along whatever section of that random number that you want to use, if you care to use it for something, which this could be a total novelty for you, or you could be in one of the nightmares that I have very often, which is that it is like the Matrix and you are like Neo, and in order to avoid the agents, you need randomness stat in order to, for some task that's going to save your life. So there are people on Earth where that is a fact. I won't even go into what I've learned about the vulnerability of people whose lives depend on randomness. I'll save that for another time. But there are people on Earth to whom this is not a novelty, and to whom random number generation is a life and death matter. Not just rich or poor, but life and death. So I take it as much of a goof as this whole thing is, I do take it seriously. And ultimately, I would say, well, I guess I'll save that for the end. The funnest of fun parts I'll save for the end. But you get prompted, you move the mouse, you random numbers get generated on the screen. And how it can be guaranteed that it is at least difficult, if not impossible, by any known technologies to reverse engineer and to find some pattern within those numbers, you are the factor that is unguessable. Your unguessable mouse movements are what makes this almost impossible to reverse engineer. Certainly if I were to say use a built-in random number generation script, to me it seems totally random. There's no way I can guess what's going on behind the scenes. I'm fooled. I'm fooled by the magic trick. But a very sophisticated human hacker, or in concert with the algorithms that they and their associates are able to create, they look at all the way down to the lowest level of that code that generates the randomness, and they say, aha, it says move 10 steps forward and then 9 steps back and then 10 steps forward and then 8 steps back and then 5 steps forward and then repeat, or something like that. So to the human eye, at a certain point, it's absurdity. It's ad nauseum. You give up. But a machine can go, oh, okay, well, I can calculate that and every possible permutation over time, and even given some potential noise and bit flipping or whatever you want to call it, or whatever it's called, can be accounted for till you have a simplified, reverse engineered, oh, there goes $1 million worth of what I thought was secured by a random number generator that was faulty. So I don't have great confidence that it's impossible to reverse engineer the randomness that is created by using this tool. But I will say the randomness is not a promise that is hard-coded into the actual code that I wrote. The randomness is an emergent property of what the end user does by moving that mouse. What is knowable, what is baked into the code, what's hard-coded, is what happens to the value of that mouse moving around, that cursor moving around. And I will say, to my memory from having written it today and kind of reiterating it many times to get to what I wanted to be the result of it, it's, I believe, the knowable, the guessable and knowable, you don't even have to guess it, it's right there. You right click and look at view the source, and what is viewable or what is visible and transparent about what's in the source is that I believe it's every time you move the mouse, the number that is the value that's generated every time you move the mouse in any direction is the x coordinate value times or multiplied by the y coordinate value, and that number is added every time that number is generated. It's added to the previous number so that you have this running sort of tab, this running score of x times y of coordinates from the left and from the top of the screen. And you would have to perfectly replay every movement of that mouse in order to ever again for eternity to get a number as absurdly long and huge as what you get from that little algorithm. Now, this is where it's interesting to me, and if someone can tell me that I'm an amateur and this is crackable and I'm full of it, well, by all means, you know, help me along the way. I'm not selling this. I'm not compelling anyone to base their life on it. I'm just creating this little theme park of a fun house of a novelty to foster appreciation for the smart money that my dumb money goes to as I make them rich and make myself poor. But I hope that this exercise in absurdity is sort of like a lucky charm to keep me from being even worse off in life. But there you have it. There is a tool that at least teaches the basics of random number generation in a visual way that's a little bit fun, has a little bit of character, and maybe teaches the dumb folks like myself some of the marvels of what the smart folks are capable of and what comes naturally to them. Like, they're a different species of life on Earth, and I am a lower species of life on Earth because my brain shuts off when numbers get past a certain size. So, yeah, I don't know if I would say I pity the fool who uses this tool to create randomness, to generate randomness, to save their life. I guess I will say I pity the fool who uses this tool to generate randomness to save their life, but I do not pity the fool who uses this tool to develop an appreciation for random number generation, which I have developed an appreciation for in no small part due to the math and computer science geniuses that I look up to and respect. And at this moment in time, I will acknowledge the mystery of Satoshi Nakamoto, and I will acknowledge the slightly less mysterious but no less impressive Steve Gibson, because between the two of them and my respect and admiration and adoration of the two of them, I get to have a little bit of fun and I get to have a little bit of freedom in this life. Because they break it down for all of us. And if you've never... Again, going back to those two buckets, somebody who is a random number generation snob at a cocktail party with a random number generation fool like me, I hope that they would see in the corner of that club that they're having that cocktail party, and there's a little pinball machine game that's called Random Number Generator, and they're playing it together and they're having a conversation about it, and that if I could be the virtual random number game experience for folks to bond over, then that would be a positive outcome of infinite, immeasurable random value. So thank you for bearing with this. I don't go into this realm of goof on a regular basis. So hopefully it's not even a full moon. So I can't blame the full moon. I just have to accept that there's no rhyme or reason to the randomness of the moment that I'm creating right now and sharing with you. Cheers.